Ever wonder how your church can stay relevant in a world dominated by TikTok and Instagram? Well, the answer might surprise you as we talk with an expert in church marketing next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Hey, welcome, folks, to the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson. It's great to have you here. We are on episode number 451 today. My partner, Steve Lacy, is not with us today, but I do have a guest, so stay tuned for that. We're going to have some, I think, some really good discussion today that I think if you're involved with your church, especially if you're involved in leadership, this will be very helpful to you. And we'll get into it in just a moment or so. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, we have a webinar coming up. It's coming up real soon. And hopefully you hear this before the webinar. The webinar is November 19th. Even if you miss that date, you can still hear it. It will be recorded along with our other webinars. We have a lot of webinars, but the one coming up here is called Enhance Your Church's Visibility in Google. Enhance Your Church's Visibility in Google. We have a expert on that from Missional Marketing. Bart Blaine is our guest for this webinar, and that's coming up, as I said, November 19th, 12 noon. And you just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, webinar.streamingchurch.tv to sign up. It's free. We're actually going to have a nice little giveaway at the end of the webinar that if you're there live, you will be able to have a chance to participate in and possibly win. We'll have some Q&A afterwards. And the webinar generally only goes about a half hour, maybe a little longer with Q&A, but they're usually good. And we've done a ton of these. And again, if you just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, you can sign up. Even if you're not going to be able to make it, sign up anyhow, because we'll send you the recorded copy of the webinar. And you can also look at some of the other ones we've done in the past. We've been doing these for a while now, and we do them to help churches and help ministries, and they cover a variety of topics. And so it might be worth your while to check into it. So again, webinar.streamingchurch.tv, enhance your church's visibility. It's an opportunity to hear from an expert on how you can get eyes on your church website, on your live streaming, and other things that you want to promote and get people to take a look at. So check that out. All right. Also want to remind you before we get into this, our sponsor is DailyDive365.com. Preach Once, Inspire Daily. This is a great tool that will take your sermons and create daily devotionals, as well as a few other things. And it does it automatically. It can do it in your pastor's voice. And just check it out, DailyDive365.com. There's a 30-day free trial. And as always, it's us. We're the ones behind it. We do, besides streamingchurch.tv, we have other things going on. And so we'll definitely help you, walk you through it. If you go and you make a free trial, again, no obligation, DailyDive365.com. Okay. We got business out of the way. As I said earlier, our episode is number 451. And let me get my glasses on so I can read our guest bio today. He serves as the Chief Operating Officer at Outreach Incorporated. It's a company dedicated to equipping churches for effective community engagement. And they're based out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. He oversees the operations within the advertising services sector, and his leadership reflects a strong commitment to supporting churches and ministries in their mission to help people hear and reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please welcome Steve Foster to the Church Solutions Podcast. Steve, how are you today?
I am doing swell. Thanks. Thanks for having me, Phil. Appreciate it.
All right, you're more than welcome. You got a. I'm looking at on the video here. I'm looking at stuff behind you. You've got. You got several things there behind you on the wall. What is that all about? All the concerts you've been to or what?
Well, as a teenager growing up through the 80s, I loved music, still love music. And I, in addition to lots of today's current stuff, man, I still love the bands of the 70s and 80s and, 90s as well. So
There you go.
I got to stick with that. And so I've just embraced me and embraced the 80s and 90s and just call it good.
Well, good for you. I see there's a Beatles, little Beatles poster back there. I thought, well, if you've gone to all these concerts, you must have really been young when you saw the
Yeah, no,
Beatles
that would be one of those that was way before my time as far
here.
as being able to go to a concert. But
Yeah.
yes, wish I could have seen them.
Well, I do too. And I actually got a chance to see Paul McCartney. My wife worked for Paul McCartney's attorney back in the early 90s. And I think we were married, just married at the time. And we got tickets to see Paul McCartney in Anaheim, California, back in 1993. And
Wow,
it was a
that's
great
great
concert.
fun.
Yeah, a great concert. He did a lot of Beatles music, obviously, besides Wings and all that stuff. So we, yeah, but I grew up like you. I grew up listening to Beatles, and yeah, it was a fun concert. All right, so well, good. I'm glad you like music. I do too. So we have that in common. So let's talk today a little bit about what you do. I think when we met in Boulder a couple months ago, and I found out you were you're the chief guy there, chief operating guy at Outreach. Marketing Outreach Incorporated. And I remember using a lot of outreach material. I think I told you this back in the mid 90s. And then also, I think when I started a church in Kansas, I used a lot of the content that Outreach did. So tell us a little bit about outreach marketing, what it is, and if I'm a pastor listening to this podcast, why should I care?
Yeah, you got it. Well, outreach was started in that in the middle 90s there, really out of what became a driving question, which is, hey, Scott Evans and his wife Susan were leaving Colorado to go plant a church in California, actually be a part of a church plant in California. And the founding senior pastor of that church knew that Scott had a degree in marketing and said, Scott, I think it's up to you to figure out how to get people here for the first service. And so bullets started to be sweat, and then probably white knuckled prayers started to go to God. And lo and behold, that led to a sending a postcard invitation to the surrounding community to their opening weekend, as well as a couple of subsequent weeks. And that just led to, I think it was six or seven people who gave their life to Christ that very first Sunday. And then from there, Scott continued on as one of the associate pastors of that church until eventually, as sometimes happens in church land, somebody says, "Hey, bad news. We don't have enough money to cover payroll this week." And so that was kind of the push out of the nest, so to speak, and then began outreach marketing back in those days. And it's really born out of the desire to be able to help churches be able to reach their community, to build bridges, to share the gospel more often and more effectively, so that people can come to the church as well as the church would go out to the people. So that's really the heart of outreach. And then from there, outreach is a very entrepreneurial organization. And over the 28, 29 years or so of outreach time, that we've started off a bunch of different endeavors. And that's led to Outreach Magazine being launched. I think that was in 2002. Still probably the preeminent church leadership magazine inside the church. And that led to then a variety of websites that got launched or purchased. And so today, Outreach, not only is it outreach.com, but really helps with more printed materials and enabling pastors and churches to be able to reach their communities. But it also includes a lot of digital tools as well. So websites, content, information, services to be able to help their church be able to maybe in some cases, because I'm sure you probably know, Phil, but the average church is or median church is somewhere around 65. I think that was actually a pre-pandemic study. However, so who knows what it really is today. But if it's around 65, that just means there's a lot of churches, a lot of pastors that are probably bivocational and just kind of struggling to do all the things that a pastor needs to do. So outreach in a lot of different areas. Really, it's our mission is to equip the church to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's really to be able to do it in a way that they might otherwise not be able to, or not be able to quite as effectively. So we help churches look better, and maybe try and do that as cheaply as possible, because everybody knows church budgets are super tight. So we try and do that on behalf of churches in all sorts of different ways, including those invitational tools and banners and large format sorts of signage, as well as websites like Church Leaders and SermonCentral.com or Sermons for Kids and a variety of other websites as well.
Yeah, I'm familiar with some of the stuff you've had, and I've used it in the churches I pastored in. And one of the things that I still love to this day, there was a postcard, and I love the creative postcards. And one of them was this, I think this, I don't know if it's a French bulldog or a bulldog on it, licking a girl's face. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think the caption of it was, we're kind of like this, only not as sloppy or something. And it was a postcard you could send out, you know, to invite people to come to your church. And I thought it was so good. And I used it a couple times. I used a couple different churches. Yeah. I just thought it was so good. We're kind of like this, only not as sloppy. And the dog's licking, you know, the girl's face, you know. And
Scott, in those early days, really worked hard to be able to put something that's relevant, kind of funny and clever, as well as, you know, kind of the on the nose stuff. But there was a lots of those. There's a picture of a big pile of peas with a 8-year-old-ish looking kid behind it, and saying church doesn't have to be like this, where the kid doesn't want to eat his can of peas. So church can be better.
Very creative stuff. And as you've mentioned, not just mailing stuff, but even banners and stuff that churches can get for the inside of their facility and stuff. So let's talk a little bit about some trends here. So what significant shifts have you seen? You've been doing this for a while now. What significant shifts have you seen in church marketing, especially over the last few years?
I would say probably going back a few years, there was, and Phil, you've been around the church long enough as well, so you kind of know back in, was it the early 90s, there was a method of planting churches. It was really around making mass phone calls into a community. And then from there, you would send out letters to those people. And then from there, maybe invitational, maybe that's around the attractional church model in some fashion. Yellow page ads, you know, obviously eventually the web kind of comes into play. And that's really where things began to shift to a digital sense, and really obviously following a digital path, really from 2010, 12, somewhere in that ballpark, through the golden era of Facebook marketing, maybe up through 16, 17, 18. And everybody kind of thought that marketing would look digital from that point on. However, there's just this part of our human brains that got wired in such fashion that when you put a physical product in front of somebody and they read that physical thing, it actually just impacts a different part. And it's a more, it's the part of the brain that actually remembers better. And so I think over the last probably number of years, people have begun to start to realize that physical components matter. So we're seeing a lot more invitational tools, people handing out either business card size invitations. Obviously still postcards still are very effective. At one season, there was the idea that postcards wouldn't really ever be effective again, except for people kept doing it. And now you can kind of say like a postcard really has a 100% open rate, whereas an email doesn't. And a display ad has fractional seconds of chance to actually make an impact, whereas a postcard or physical product actually makes a far longer impact. So I would say there's an element of overall marketing that's kind of gone to realizing maybe there are other ways to do it, and a physical versions of that, whether it's signage that's outside, which we've seen very, very effective, or invitational tools that you put in front of people's hands. And then as well, postcards. Ultimately, I would say that probably the best thing is always when a church creates an invitational strategy around inside of their congregation, is that their congregation is always thinking it's my job to invite people into a deeper or another step into a walk with Jesus. And so that might be handing a postcard out to somebody. It might be inviting to an event, might be inviting to church, whatever that looks like. It to me feels like that's the winning ticket across any strategy, whether it's digital or a physical version of that as well.
Yeah. Your members need to be involved. Old saying that my church used to be, we used to say, and I'm sure it goes back many, many years, is every member is a minister. And so you have an opportunity as a member to reach out to other people and minister to other people. Well, let's stay on this real quickly. And I think what you're saying, that's interesting that you're saying the digital thing is out there, but people are kind of, you know, again, the physical, like the postcard, seems to be very, very useful and very effective. But what about the text messaging thing? Because the text messaging thing has been coming around, or was. Is the text messaging thing still something? Because, you know, that was always the idea. Well, okay, emails don't always get open, but the text messages, people see those.
Yeah, have a 98% open rate. Yeah.
Right. So those must be very effective. True or false? Are they?
Yeah. No, very, very effective. I would guess so long as political election years don't kill text messaging.
Yeah, like this year?
Wow. I think in marketing, there's generally an idea that any new and novel thing that comes up can be effectively killed by marketers. And because we'll make something new and novel, not new and novel any longer. And then once it's not new and novel, then it becomes just another thing. However, text messaging is absolutely the fastest way to be able to get directly with somebody. And I would say from my perspective, it seems as though to me, text messaging is more effective today than it's ever been. Again, hopefully marketers of all sorts don't kill it, but nonetheless, it seems to me like it's one of the most effective ways these days. And I say that in that it was somewhat effective maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, but back in those days, I didn't give my phone number out, and I knew many, many people who wouldn't give their phone number out to anybody. Whereas over the last maybe 2 to 3 years, people have been more free with their phone number, posting their phone number, their phone number's more available. I'm willing to suffer a little bit of marketing messages today, whereas 5 years ago, I would have said, get this garbage off my phone. And so today it feels like that you can send out and it is effective. So people will give up a phone number, which probably wasn't the case 5 to 8 years ago quite as much. And then people will suffer a little bit more today than they would have again 5 to 8 years ago, I'd say. So yeah, I absolutely, text messaging is a fantastic way. For the most part though, as you can imagine, it really will come down to, do you have a use case, a reason to acquire the phone number and then to communicate with the person? And as Christians, I would like to think we're always willing and able to provide value first and not, hey, come to my church service, come to my whatever, unless there's a relationship component in it as well. So relationally, all good. But if it's just a marketing message, man, let's provide value first.
Yeah, good point. All right, so let's get practical here. So I'm a pastor listening to this Church Solutions podcast, and I'm thinking, yeah, we want to reach more people. I'm going to contact outreach marketing here. Tell me kind of what the process is. Somebody calls up and says, hey, I want to reach people. What is the practical thing? I mean, we're talking different sizes, I'm sure, different demographics, but how's it go? How does the process go? What do you guys suggest?
we actually have the old school people to actually talk to. So we actually have people to speak with and to talk to about that. And a part of it is kind of alluding to what you just said, which is there's so many unique elements around what does it mean to me in my context for a church that it's very hard sometimes to just say, like, well, here's the cookie cutter. Sometimes you might want to do a saturation mailing, sometimes, which it'd be like a postcard mailing out to a certain zip code or walking zip code area. Other times it might be, no, I really want to reach this demographic in this area, or here's a digital strategy to go along with a invitational strategy. We have postcards now that because there's so many people that get advance notice of their mail, now there's a new ability to be able to actually know that people actually got your postcard digitally as well. They'll get a picture of that, and then you can know more of that information as well. So there's a lot of tools, and the easy thing is, hey, call one of our specialists, and they're really able to kind of help tailor one of those sorts of solutions for the individual church, because every church context is a little bit different.
Yeah, I remember just getting back to the postcard thing again, how you can get different zones. It's not just the zip code, but there's different zones within that. I remember having to do that, and I think I sorted some of that out. I remember several volunteers and I, we put together, we had these boxes of postcards, and we sorted them out. And so it's so you can actually target. It's not just throwing out one thing to one zip code. I mean, it's you can target, right?
No, you can target off of a variety of different things. It's really there's really quite a lot of availability to be able to tailor your, for instance, if you're a church that really caters to younger kids, you can pull out demographic data for families or for homes that have children under 18 or children that are in elementary age schools. You can begin to target those sorts of things and get to that level of people. And that's just really, much, much, much more effective to be able to when you start like leveraging some of the abilities to, hey, this is the people who we reach. And that's it. When I was executive pastor before I was on staff here at Outreach. So I was executive pastor for 10 years, and I was the guy who kind of picked those mailing lists and where it was. And I happened to know that it was in Oceanside, California back in those days. And I happened to know that most people drive from our church, they would drive south and west, and rarely people would ever drive north and east. So I knew if I wanted to mail to people, I should mail to people that are north and east. So they, because when they're driving, they would pass our church, and those folks would come to our church. Whereas people that I mailed south, they would never go north. They just wouldn't do that because it wasn't their normal traffic pattern. You can kind of like know those things. You can know a little bit of who is your church, who do you reach, and if you know any bit of that, then our outreach team can really help and kind of narrow down how to be able to reach those folks. Again, alongside, there's a lot of a great digital abilities to be able to connect a postcard mailing along with doing a targeted Facebook campaign for that exact mailing. So obviously, whenever you're able to do something digital and physical, then your reach and your ability to be effective is much, much, much greater increased.
Yeah. So you work with people with Facebook stuff. What about Google? Do you guys do anything helping churches use Google?
We don't. We've messed around with that over the years. I know you have a Google specialist. I would
Yes.
advocate absolutely all day long. Everybody should learn more about Google and how do you optimize Google, because it's one of the key ways people can get traffic into a website, which is one of the, well, it's probably everybody's first front door these days. So we actually don't have something that necessarily specializes in Google. Because usually you can do something like that simply enough on your own. It's the Facebook layering on top of that that we can do that's a little bit for a physical postcard. We can actually do both, connect both of those together and make sure we're targeting basically the same group of people.
Yeah. Well, and thanks for mentioning that. I'll plug our webinar again, and that's going to be November 19th. We got Bart Belair. I can't remember his last name. Bart from Missional Marketing, and he's going to talk a lot about Google and how to use Google to to reach your church. So people can sign up at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. So thanks for the plug there. All right. So we're starting to run out of time here, but let's pull out. Let's get into, I used to say crystal ball, but let's get into the prophetic here. What do you see? Where do you see the church marketing? What direction do you see the church marketing heading in the next maybe 5 to 10 years?
I would say the thing that marketing broadly, I would always say you need to own your own audiences. So when I say that, that means you know your audience. You've got a first name, last name, email address, and a phone number, because those are two pieces of your audience that you own. And unfortunately, while you do might have a Facebook presence, you actually don't own your Facebook presence per se. You only own that little tiny URL. But Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of the gang at Facebook, they own who controls what you see there. And the same thing, while I would say always advocate for increasing your SEO and SEM around Google, ultimately Google's algorithm still controls that for you as well. And so the best ways that people can ultimately think about their future in marketing or reaching people is through an email and a phone number, because those are two things you can control. And to that end, I think that those will continue to be core constituents to a marketing campaign in the future. How might that, how might that transition into Google or how into digital world? I don't know. There's obviously, a world of TikTok and Instagram as well, and I'm sure there'll be another next up in there, someday down the road for the next generation. I don't know what that'll be, but there will be something. And I would say it's always be relevant for your audience. So if you're a pastor and you're 50 years old, that probably means you better be on Facebook and thinking through Facebook marketing as well. However, all the digital products, man, they make a lot of money. And that's their job is to make money, and they're really good at their job, and that means taking money away from marketers. So we're making as much as they possibly can, but the two pieces you control are email and phone number.
Yeah, we when you make it, when you talk about making the money thing, we at streamingchurch.tv, we have used Google AdWords off and on over the years. I think we got something going now, but we're so unique in what we do that you have to really be careful just throwing money at something without, dealing with the AdWords and I forget the term, I'm not handling that, Michael Gray is, but the negative AdWords, you want to get rid of those. And because we if you just put in streaming, for us, we're streaming church, so if we just do something like streaming video, well then you got people looking for a church or something that
Netflix
does
or
streaming
whatever.
video. Yeah, exactly. So you got to be careful about that stuff. And as you just mentioned, their ad specialist will do a lot of things, but it doesn't necessarily translate into eyes seeing your website or seeing your deal. So you got to be careful.
The other thing I'd add on to that is as well, just that it's really hard for me to imagine a world where it's not equally or more effective to reach people with a physical thing, because it's just that's how our brains are wired by God, I think, just to be able to react and interact with physical material in a different way. And that's just going to be that much more effective. And so I think that in a world of digital, the opposite of that stands out even more in a world in the future.
I think you're right on that. All right, so we're out of time here. So we've been talking with Steve Foster from Outreach. I still want to call it outreach marketing, but you guys don't call it outreach marketing
You
anymore, do
obviously know outreach from way back when.
you?
There's a way back machine that's got outreach marketing on there, but yes, it's outreach today, and outreach.com. But it used to be outreach marketing
All
in the
right.
late 90s.
All right. So people, how do people get a hold of you? If they want to talk or talk to somebody, what's the,
I would say, I mean, anybody that they would want to talk to in the world of outreach, they could just dial up the 800 number from outreach.com and they'd be able to reach somebody that can actually help them. Again, we've got a bunch of folks that are actually real life human people. No bots, no AI replacing those folks. And they use their brains to be able to, help the churches as best they possibly can.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. That's kind of our philosophy as well. We're here 7 days a week, and especially Sunday mornings to help churches. And I think the personal touch is definitely important for many people. All right. Well, look,
Yeah.
Steve, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure for sure. Thanks for having me, Phil.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And folks, thank you for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions podcast. And you heard how you can get a hold of Steve and the outreach team there. If you just can't remember that later, you can always reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv, and we'll make sure you get in touch with outreach. And if you can subscribe to the Church Solutions podcast, that would be wonderful. And check out the resources we have at streamingchurch.tv. We cover a lot of ground, and we'll be happy to help your church. All right, so we're done here. Thanks again, folks. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions podcast.